We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Sezlowski. This week's episode features Jared Smola from Draft Sharks. Jared is a longtime fantasy player and has been doing content for fantasy football for well over a better part of a decade and a half. I urge everybody to go check out his work on Draft Sharks and follow him on Twitter, Smola DS. All of his links are in the video description below. Recently, Jared invited me to participate in an analyst league on the Draft Sharks Invitational, which was a Superflex tight end premium league. This league was loaded with experienced players, and it was a tough room. There was not a lot of value to be had. I've linked the draft board in the video or audio description below. I asked Jared about that draft, some strategy questions for Superflex drafts, but we also covered a ton of relevant fantasy football takes and player analysis as you head into your drafts this season. I know you'll enjoy this long-ranging conversation with Jared Smola from Draft Sharks. By the way, the sanity test that I give everybody when they come on this is how many leagues are you going to be in this year? And there's no wrong answer here. This is just, yeah. You know, this is one of those psychological tests.
Are you counting basketball leagues?
Let's do a dynasty redraft grouping, and then we'll do a best ball separate. Because, you know, I mean, if you told me 150 best ball, I wouldn't think anything of that at this point.
It's probably going to settle around 10 to 12, like, lineup setting leagues. You know, I might get to 15 if I get antsy a couple days before the season starts. But I do try to keep it around 10 because, you know how busy we are with work during the season. So trying to do that plus manage all the waiver wires gets tricky if I get, up to more than 10 to 12.
So I will agree with you. There's no bigger hell on this earth than setting your line, especially now with the Thursday game, and then having to take the Thursday player that you had in your flex and put him into your running back slot so you can leave your flex open. So I'm going to say, Jared Smola, that you are a sane person. You are looking at a person that has 30, and I honestly, it's unsustainable. I'm miserable, and I'm starting to not enjoy it. So, but yet, what do I do in the offseason? More dynasty startups.
Yeah, I was there recently with the 30. We had a kid a couple of years ago, so I think that was to me the impetus to try to cut back on those leagues.
Yeah, I'm with Jared Smola of Draft Sharks, and we participated in the same Draft Sharks Invitational Expert Superflex Tight End Premium. It's like when they SiriusXM adds on SiriusXM Pandora, when you keep adding names on. But it's worth explaining because this is becoming more of the normal format than it is the abnormal. I mean, I almost can't eat vanilla ice cream anymore. I need all the different flavors on at this point. Are you the same way with your leagues?
Yeah, Superflex is definitely growing as I think it should. It adds more variety, right? You get in the one quarterback leagues and like the first round always looks the same. The second round is always the same guys, even the third and fourth round, like you can kind of predict how it's going to play out. Superflex drafts. And we saw, there were six of these Draft Sharks Invitational drafts. They all played out pretty differently as far as, how early the quarterbacks flew off the board.
Yeah, and if anyone is watching on the YouTube feed, I did link the draft board for our draft that is in the video description below. And this wasn't just some, like, quote, experts draft where we just plant our flags. Like, there's real money involved in this. The winner of this draft gets $500, and then there's six drafts that go on, and the winner of the overall gets $5,000. Now, I told you, I already spent the money, so I intend on winning it here. You know, I mean, I've already, you know, I bought a new big screen TV for it, so this has got to be paid for. And we're going to go over those drafts, but I just have a bunch of, you know, I want the audience to understand, you know, I follow you on Twitter. I love how you think about the game of football. How long have you been playing fantasy, and how long have you been creating content for fantasy?
Yeah, I got in my first league when I was about 10 years old. So that would have been 1998. I remember, like, you know, Marshall Faulk, Brett Favre, those were like the studs that kind of, you know, were carrying my first couple teams. So I've been playing for, what is that, 25 years now. And I started with Draft Sharks in 2007. I was a sophomore in college, sort of, you know, looking for a part-time gig.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school in St. John Fisher in Rochester, New York. I was a sport management major with kind of no idea what I was going to do with that. But I totally fell into this Draft Sharks gig, and I've been doing it ever since.
What do you think? I mean, you've been doing fantasy for a long time. I've been playing fantasy since about 2005 myself, creating content non-professionally for about 6 years. And then, you know, it's so fun. Even if you get like $10 an article, getting your first paycheck for it is like, you know, oh my God, somebody's going to pay me to do something I like. And then eventually working full time in it. But I always ask sharp players like yourself this: what do you think the biggest mistake even experienced fantasy football players are making in this day and age?
That's a good question. I think the fantasy community in general is so much sharper than it used to be. To me, and this, you know, this, I guess, is on top of mind at this time of year, but overrating a lot of this stuff we read and see in preseason action. Like, to me, it's, you know, my formula is probably 90% what I thought for the entire offseason, all the research I did into all these teams, the coaching tendencies, the usage stuff. And then I'll tweak that final 10% based on what we're seeing in camp, you know, kind of some of the usage stuff we see in preseason. That stuff matters. But I think, you know, in today's day and age with Twitter, and it's so easy to access these reports, that people tend to overrate stuff that they're seeing in August.
Yeah, you know, you do fantasy football all year round. That's, you know, what I do too. When these guys are doing some baseball, I'm still, you know, talking about my best ball drafts and my dynasty rookie rankings. But I always say, if you go back to your March rankings, those are your sober rankings, right? I mean, we're all guilty. I mean, we try to think we're disciplined and hold the line. But, oh, I'm going to move this guy up three spots, move this guy down two spots. You know, Malik Willis was not getting drafted in best ball. I bet you after last night, he's going to be a nice late round pick.
And he shouldn't be in one quarterback leagues, in my opinion. In Superflex, you can, you know, you want to take those backups to have upside in case the starter goes down. But I think, and you know, Willis looked awesome. He did everything we wanted to see when, you know, projecting his fantasy upside going forward. But, you know, I still think this is Tannehill's team this season.
Yeah, you said something interesting earlier, that the average fantasy player is so much sharper. You know, like Bob in accounting in your office league can just go in and follow ADP and have a pretty good draft. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's other things involved. But so what do you think the edge is nowadays? Like, how do you gain an advantage? Because we all have, I mean, I remember when I first saw like RotoWire or RotoWorld and the news blurbs, and no one else had those. And, you know, now on Draft Sharks, there's so much good information. But so what's the edge? How do you gain advantage over your typical league now?
Hey, you're not going to gain edges anymore with like news, because that stuff's all over the place. People understand like positional values, you know, quarterbacks, for example, you know, go much later in general than they did 10 years ago. I think people understand like just simple stuff like regression, like, a, you know, a guy scores on 20% of his catches last year, that's coming down. That stuff's all, you know, baked into ADP nowadays. I still think draft strategy, understanding the flow of drafts, understanding tiers and where value pockets are at different positions. I still think that's the edge that, you know, that we can still have in drafts nowadays.
All right. So that's a great lead into my next question was, and you can't, I'm going to ask you about draft strategy, but you can't say, hey, I'm just going to take what the board gives me, because we know that. Okay.
Yeah.
But going into a draft, and you can break us up and say, hey, if I'm drafting in the back of there at the middle, but what is your draft strategy for 2022 in a single quarterback redraft league? How are you going to approach a draft this year?
Well, we can go position by position if you want. Even in one quarterback leagues, I'm trying to get one of the top six guys. And for me, that's Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts to me is in that tier.
He's number three for me, by the way. I have him as number three. Awesome. Yeah,
That's not great. And to me, Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts, they just go latest among those six. So those are the guys I've been taking the most of. At running back for me, it's kind of like early and then late. I like trying to get one of the top like six or seven guys. For me, that ends with like Saquon Barkley and Joe Mixon, kind of like, you know, early to mid second round. And then I'm usually ignoring the position until, you know, round 7, 8, 9, when I can maybe get a Tony Pollard, a Kareem Hunt, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So that's kind of my strategy there. And then, of course, to fill that in, I'm pounding wide receivers in rounds, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that's where the value is there. Tight end, my strategy this year is basically Dallas Goedert.
I've heard you say that.
Dallas Goedert. I mean, I will take Travis Kelce, Kyle Pitts at value near the top of drafts, but otherwise I'm taking Goddard. I think Goddard's going like 2 or 3 rounds later than he should be.
You know, I heard an interesting stat about Goddard today, this morning, and it was, and I hope I'm getting it right. He is the all-time NFL leader in yards per route run or something. I mean, again, I want to make sure I'm getting it. I'm talking about not last year, like all time. It's just that he doesn't get the volume. So is that really what the Dallas Goedert flag plan is? Is that he's a really great tight end? And if we can get him 100 targets, I mean, you know, he's lights out.
Yeah, I know last year only George Kittle averaged more yards per route run than Dallas Goedert. That's the, you know, base of my love for Goddard, is I think he's, you know, one of the five best pass catching tight ends in the NFL. And I'm a big believer in talent earning opportunity. So AJ Brown's arrival obviously hurts the volume for Goddard. The Eagles are also going to throw it a ton more than they did last year. They were dead last in the NFL in pass attempts last season. To me, going out and getting AJ Brown tells me they're going to throw it more. I don't think they're going to be top 10 in the NFL in pass attempts, but if they can be middle of the pack, that basically, you know, offsets the arrival of AJ Brown for Goddard. I think he can, you know, still be getting 6 to 8 targets per game, which is plenty at the tight end position.
Right. I don't think we've seen Goddard without Ertz for a season yet, right? I mean, Ertz was what he was there for about four, five, six games last year.
Yeah, so Goddard, and I have all these Goddard stats memorized because I've been talking about him so much. He played 10 games without Ertz last season, and he was the tight end 5 in PPR points. All right. So I think that's about what you're going to get again this season. And, you know, he's what? I think he's like tight end 8 in ADP.
Right, and he's not like tight end 8 where you have to take him right after the 7th guy goes. Like, after the top 6 goes, there's like a round and a half gap.
Yeah.
You could even be like, okay, the 6th tight end went off the board. My next pick is maybe, right, I got you, which is great, because sometimes when you get into, if you want one of those top 6 quarterbacks, you see quarterback 1 go, you need to pay attention and lock in, mm-hmm. because you don't want to get out of that tier. And I guess, you know, even though this is cookie cutter analysis, what I'm about to say, I mean, is it fair to say that if you do miss on the top 6 quarterbacks, that Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins are your targets, right? Is that what everyone's targets are right now?
they're okay. I'd rather wait another 2-3 rounds. Oh, to take Trevor good. Lawrence.
This... Oh, Trevor okay. Lawrence. Yep. Interesting. All right, good. Yeah. All right. So this is something new, because I fall under the Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, you know, Mendoza. Like, that's what I want my backstop to be. So you're willing. All right. That's all right. So what do you see for Trevor Lawrence? What is about? I mean, we all know about his prospect profile.
Yes.
I just think that the weapons around him are like, okay. I mean, so what is it about Trevor Lawrence that thinks that he could be a top 12 quarterback this year for fantasy?
Yeah, I agree. The weapons are okay. They're much better than last year. Especially when you factor in, you know, they're basically adding Travis Etienne, who didn't play at all last year. And I think he's going to be a big part of the passing game. For me, the coaching staff upgrade is the biggest thing. I mean, Urban Meyer was a total clown show last year. I'm a Doug Peterson guy. You look at his Eagles offenses, they were all top 8 in offensive plays run. He ran fast paced, high volume offenses in Philly. I think last year's Jags were, they were bottom 5 in offensive plays. So I think you're going to get a lot more volume from Trevor Lawrence. Better supporting cast, and he can give you some rushing ability too. I think that was kind of an underrated facet of his game coming out. Is, you know, he can run for 300, 350 yards, give you a few touchdowns, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the big reveals. You know, like, we all have this analysis. I'm not sick of analysis yet. I almost like all the prep better than I like the season. I'm in that state of mind. But one of the big reveals, like, that I cannot wait to see. Is Trevor Lawrence good? And we know he's good, but I mean, is he like, are there those, like, what we saw from Malik Willis last night, right? We're like, okay, I saw it. Like, are we going to get a game where we see a few plays game after game for Trevor Lawrence? I mean, if Trevor Lawrence did what Malik Willis did last night, I mean, he would be vaulted up to the top 12, right? I mean, that's what we're waiting to see. All right, we're going to review the Superflex draft, which, by the way, if you're watching on the YouTube link, it's linked in the video description below the full board. If you're watching on Twitter or Facebook, come over to YouTube and you can check out the board. And we're going to have player discussion in and out. I'm just going to cover our faces for a moment, if you don't mind. I put the board up just like that, and I'll toggle back and forth. As you can see here, this is the Draft Sharks Superflex draft number 4. Jared and I are in there with some very experienced players, great players. So nothing came easy in this draft. As you can see, I picked 3rd. Jared, you picked 10th. At 10th, you don't get a shot at the elite quarterbacks, but you do get to see how the board falls. Where was the quarterback break line for you? And then where you would maybe pivot to, you know, what you did here is you took Cooper Kupp, one of the big 3 receivers.
Yeah, the top 6 quarterbacks that we talked about were the 6 I was willing to take in round 1. And, you know, Jalen Hurts made it to the 112, I think, in 2 of these 6 drafts. But I think our draft here was the quarterback heaviest one. I mean, you know, we had, 6 quarterbacks come off the board before my pick at 10. So, you know, I knew if those 6 quarterbacks were gone, then I'd be looking at Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp, or, you know, worst case would have been Justin Jefferson. So I would have loved to have gotten Christian McCaffrey at 10 there. He went 1 pick ahead of me, but I was fine just scooping up Cooper Kupp, who is, you know, my top receiver for this season.
Yeah, I looked at some of the draft boards for the other drafts just to see how it go, and I was surprised because, you know, I'm in my Superflex bubble. I do all these, like, sleeper dynasty startups, and I made the joke in the chat, we're Superflexing now, baby. You know, it's like, I considered, by the way, I picked at 3. I took Justin Herbert. If Herbert was off the board at 2, I would have taken Jalen Hurts at 3. You know, I mean, I wasn't, you know, Lamar Jackson's a perfectly good pick, and I see that he's like ECR has him as like QB1 over Josh Allen. I mean, I don't see that at all. You know, I mean, if you look at the, I think at the Fantasy Pros stuff, like, I was just like, wait a second, this looks outdated to me, because I don't know any sane person or credible ranker that doesn't have Josh Allen as the QB1. I mean, I think we can all agree. We don't agree on anything in fantasy football, but I think we all agree on Josh Allen as QB1.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have him. He's almost in his own tier for me. If I look at my projections, you know, he's like 15, 20 points ahead of the next guy. And in most drafts, you know, in standard 1 quarterback drafts, he'll go a half round to a round ahead of the rest of these guys.
Okay. So you at that point said, I'm going to, you know, you've made a decision at pick 10, and I'll put the draft board back up for a moment here. You went Cooper Kupp. You said, hey, I'm not going to take a tier break there. I'm going to have a position player, especially since you have to start 3 receivers. In leagues where you have to start 2 receivers, I think it's a different conversation. But, you know, I mean, you got the wide receiver, a tier 1 guy. And Tom Brady, I mean, I love that pick there. I mean, Tom Brady, it's the cliff can come at any moment, so there's a little bit of hesitation. But were you considering, like, you know, Russell Wilson, an upside play like Lance? How come Brady right there at the pick, your second round pick?
Lance was the guy I strongly considered. I was going back and forth between those two guys. I just sort of stuck to my rankings for this with Tom Brady. I also, and, you know, this didn't end up working out for me, but I also liked the fact that there's more stack options with Brady that I could have drafted later on. You know, Trey Lance, he's almost a guy I want to just draft Trey Lance and not draft any of his pass catchers, because he's going to do so much of his damage on the ground. But I knew I didn't want to leave the first 2 rounds without a quarterback. And, you know, to me, beyond those top 6, there's another 6 guys for me in the next tier of quarterbacks: Joe Burrow, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Trey Lance, Matt Stafford, Dak Prescott. So I kind of knew I'd be landing on one of those 6 guys with that second round pick.
And you said something important about the stacking. So in your typical home league, or just a single, like, standalone league, stacking's cool, but I don't think it's as important. When we're talking about a contest like this where there's 72 teams, right? It's 72? Is that the math, right? 72 teams competing for $5,000. I mean, that's not small potatoes there. You know, it's stacking. There is like a DFS element to it. And you know what? Without looking at the board, did you end up getting Mike Evans, Chris Godwin? Did you get any of those guys?
I did not, unfortunately. I was, you know, looking to. I did end up getting some late Jaguars stacks to go along with Trevor Lawrence.
She love, right. So, you know, and I did, so I'm normally quarterback in the first two rounds, except when you pick in that one, two, or three spot, if Russell Wilson or Trey Lance do not fall, yep. I mean, I'm starting in punt mode now, you know, so then it's, I did not plan on having Baker Mayfield as my QB2, but, you know, listen, you know, I the rosters in the Draft Sharks Invitational are big enough where I was able to, you know, put Matt Corral in there and just yep. in case, because, you know, and, you know, speaking of that, you know, we're talking about Baker Mayfield. It's funny that no one liked Baker Mayfield, but now everyone loves DJ Moore because Baker Mayfield's there. Can you just, where are you on DJ Moore, who, again, I totally understand the case for him, but I just have not drafted. I'm not willing to take him in like the 3-4 turn.
Yeah, I think with Baker, it's like lesser of two evils, right? Like, I don't love him, but I definitely like him more than Sam Darnold. I think he's an upgrade for the passing game. You know, if he can give them maybe league average quarterback play, which would be better than DJ Moore had last year. I'm not huge on DJ Moore just with where his price is now. I think he's probably priced fairly. I think he's a pretty safe bet. Like, I think he was wide receiver 17 last year in PPR points, despite only scoring 4 touchdowns. So, you know, that's kind of like a floor for him, I think. I don't think he has massive, like, league-winning upside. But, you know, again, I don't think he's going to kill you as, you know, a third or fourth round pick.
I guess the case for DJ Moore, and again, what you said, I'm lining up behind you. If, like, someone asked me my stance on DJ Moore, I'm just going to replay them what you just said. I don't even need to say. I'm like, here, listen to Jared real quick. But, I mean, with 4 touchdowns a year for his career, I mean, you could talk about, we always talk about regression. It could go the other way. He was a touchdown scorer at Maryland. So, yep. I mean, I won't be surprised if we get an 11 touchdown season from DJ Moore at some point. But you know, you always want to skate where the puck is going, but like cliche alert there, but I actually need to see it with him. I'll pay because you're paying full retail right now. Right. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, maybe a half a round more. Just before we continue on, I just want to know, is there something that you wish you had in your fantasy league or features that are missing from your current league? Bonus scoring, custom schedules or playoffs, deeper team settings? Well, look no further because we have you covered with our friends at Fantrax. Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy. How many times have you had to read this one, Jared?
Right. Well, my co-host Matt Schaaf does it for us. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair. Well, how many times have you had to listen to it? You know what? Tell me who does it better. Matt does it better, or I do it better. You're gonna have to grade at the end. Fantrax. I'm only teasing. Of course, you got to go with your guy. Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform in the industry, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues. Join MLB All-Star Jock Peterson, who recently announced he's moving his fantasy football league to Fantrax. Fantrax is excited to announce the Fantrax Game Day Experience giveaway. Fantrax will be sending one lucky fantasy football league to a regular season game of their choice, along with $6,000 towards travel and accommodations. All you have to do is enter, create your own league on Fantrax. The more leagues you create, the more chances you have to win. There's a reason why players who try Fantrax make it their permanent home. Go to Fantrax.com/RotoWire and sign up today. If you won that contest where you were able to go to any game and get your travel paid for, what would it be?
Yeah, me and Matt talked about this on our podcast recently. I'm going to a Chargers game. That's a team I want to see in person. And, you know, there's nice weather out there. Get out of the snow here in upstate New York.
So there's a couple ways to think about it, right? It's the team you want to see, the stadium you want to see, or is it the city you want to go to? Yep. And Chargers is a great one, by the way. That would probably be in my top two or three. I was thinking if I won the Fantrax drawing, I'd probably go Las Vegas. I know it's kind of, you know, I mean, that stadium looks cool from the outside, at least. You know, there's supposedly a nightclub in there. It might be fun. And by the way, it would have to be a good game, you know, too.
It's funny. If I was going just city, I'd pick Seattle because that's like fair. The top of my list. But I don't want to go to a Seahawks game.
Right. It's not this year.
Not this year. Yeah, last year would have been fine. Not this year.
Yeah. Speaking, by the way, just we're talking about the Seahawks in your super flex leagues. Which one of those guys you bring a desperation QB3, QB4 chip on?
Oh, my goodness. I still think I still think Drew Lock will start more games this season. So I guess I would go with him.
Yeah. And I think that would be better for DK Metcalf as well, because it's not that we think Drew Lock is like, you know, a top 32 quarterback. But sometimes when you have like a below level starting quarterback and you have like an alpha wide receiver, they're more apt just to like throw it, like have a DJAF attitude, just throw it to the guy. And, you know, DK can erase a lot of mistakes. So where are you on? This is just tangenting topics here, but where are you on DK Metcalf? Would you be willing to take him in the fourth round?
I have a lot of Metcalf on like Underdog. I know he'll get into like the sixth round a lot on Underdog.
Yeah.
And I'll even take him in the fifth at times. I mean, it's just a bet on talent. Like, you know, if he's going outside the top 20 wideouts now, I think he can beat that just based on talent.
I'm looking at his NFFC ADP, and you are right. He goes on the fourth. Oh, okay. He goes at pick 49 over the last 3 days. So that's the 4-5 turn, more or less. And he is wide receiver 23. So that's where you're starting to consider him either way. Yeah, underdog's a whole different deal, yeah. Right? I mean, it's its own ecosystem. You know,
yeah, when you, it is, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We're on best ball now. I mean, I have so much to ask you. That's why I'm weaving in and out of topics here, but the audience needs to know this stuff. What's your, you know, in a wide receiver crazy world, I don't know. I've been playing best ball long enough to know that, like, I've done well enough. I haven't won the big prize, but to get three or four running backs that have job security, and then the benefit of best ball is I never have to call my shot with wide receiver. So I don't mind getting these guys that are like headache starts in seasonal leagues. What's your best ball strategy? Are you in on the wide receiver mayhem?
No.
Okay, good.
Let's talk. I'm 100% with you. I love the wide receiver mayhem. I want to lock up as many of those elite running backs as I can. I'll start RB. I've started RB a ton this year on underdog. You can get, you know, Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, Travis Etienne. I love, you know, James Conner in the third. And then, yeah, stockpile the wide receivers. They give you, you know, more weekly volatility, which is good in best ball. And especially underdog, it's half PPR. I think people, you know, draft like it's full PPR. It makes a big difference.
Thank God. Yeah, you know what, Jared, we're going to be friends, man. We have more in common than we thought. We have, I used to live in New York, and then we also have that we have a sane best ball approach. And like you said, it's what's the ultimate DFS players always say, hey, who's the guy who's unlikely to do this? But if I do, I win. If everyone's going gobbling up these wide receivers, fine. My first wide receiver is going to be like wide receiver, you know, 31, but I'm going to have 31, 35, 38. You know, I'm going to have all those guys stacked up in a row. And when you don't have the biggest headache in fantasy, and I'm sure you get a gazillion questions, is should I start this marginal wide receiver or this marginal wide receiver? It's like, I don't know, dude, this one, you know, but
I actually looked in because I wanted to sort of check myself this offseason to see if this was kind of still the way to go in best ball. So I did an article on DraftShark. You could check it out. It's a free article. And I looked at where the elite scoring weeks in every position came. So I looked at, you know, where did the top five running back scoring weeks come from? And it backed up what we do. The vast majority of the elite running back weeks come from guys picked in the first two rounds of these underdog drafts. Wide receiver, I mean, obviously you're still getting more of the elite weeks at the top of the draft, but it's much more spread out. You can find a lot more of those elite weeks in the middle rounds of fantasy draft. So that just kind of, you know, made me think like, I'm on the right track with this best ball draft strategy.
Yeah. And go follow Jared on Twitter, Smola. It's on the screen. If you're watching, if you're listening on the podcast, it's Smola, Smolads. That's for Draft Shark. I said your last name correctly, right, Jared? It's Smola.
Perfect. Nailed it.
All right, cool. Nobody could say my last name, says Lowski, so it's okay. It's all right, you know. It's always mispronounced.
That seems easy enough.
Again, Jared, you know, like I said, we're kismet, my friend. All right, so one of my favorite, we talked about how you get an edge in fantasy football in 2022, and I think, you know, a popular SEO title that we would see is these five players are breaking out. But I had a conversation with my with one of my colleagues, Jeff Erickson. We talked about how do you identify a breakout player, and you know, yes, if you're a spreadsheet guy, you can get in there, and that's great. But is there anything simpler to identify breakouts? And I'll just give you like a little taste of what I said, and then I would curious how you identify your breakouts. I just look at the guys who were quote good that maybe started slow last year but finished strong. So that last post buy or past 6 weeks, and you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown comes to mind. So start with how do you identify breakouts, and then I want to get into something player specific.
My biggest thing is opportunity. Like, I'm looking for spots where guys have more opportunity than they did last year. So, you know, whether that's injuries or whether that's, you know, teams losing guys in free agency, or just, it doesn't even have to be volume opportunity. It can be opportunity that I think this offense is going to be a lot better and they're going to score a lot more points. So this guy's going to have more touchdown chances.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. So opportunity, coaching changes, quarterback changes. I mean, like, if I would have told you this time last year, oh yeah, Cortland Sutton, he's going to be a third round pick in sharp drafts, fourth round pick in, you know, in your sort of normal leagues. I mean, yeah. It was like, you would have, first thing you would ask me, who's the quarterback, right? I mean, that begs the question though, what do you think is the most important offseason signing or trade that happened?
Well, you got my mind on Russell Wilson now. It's kind of tough not to go with that, right? I mean, it's tough to think of a bigger wide receiver upgrade. And, man, I love Sutton and Judy as talents. So I want to be drafting both of those guys. Yeah, I actually thought Sutton was a bit overvalued before the Tim Patrick injury. Mm. It's scary to me that Sutton did so little last year after Judy returned. And I know the situation wasn't good, but even if you look at, like, targets, like, he was getting out-targeted by Jerry Judy and Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton was, so... That scared me a bit, but now that Patrick's out of the picture, it's kind of tough to not bet on Sutton.
I guess the case for ignoring what you just said, based on, like, because yes, it's more of a projection, and we're really putting him at his ceiling. But I guess the case is that he really is the quote DK Metcalf of this offense, right? And Russell Wilson likes to do what Cortland Sutton does best. I mean, in a couple of, like, you know, $5 puppies, I'm okay reaching on Cortland Sutton in the third round, but I don't know. Like, I have a, an NFFC draft coming up August 20th, and I don't think I'm going to have the stones to go Cortland Sutton that early, just because, like you said, it's like, I looked at DraftKings yardage totals for Judy and Sutton, and they're the same. They're both 905 yards, and the catch total is actually higher for Judy. So, yep. I mean,
I think Sutton's probably a better touchdown bet, right?
Yes.
But I in full PPR, I have Judy ranked ahead of Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
So I would, okay, I'd much rather wait. Yeah, yeah. Much rather wait around.
I mean, they're basically going now as back to back. So if you wanted to, like, stack those guys, you got to take them on the 3-4 turn. You know, let's say it goes. Yeah. You would have to take them. Let's see. On the 3-4 turn together, which be ahead of ADP for both of them. So if you're it's going to be tough to do. I guess maybe if you're doing, like, an auction or a salary cap draft, that would be different. I skipped forward, but I was when we come back, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, I do want to ask you about Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it wouldn't be a fantasy football podcast unless we brought up Gabriel or Davis. So those are the two players we're going to talk about as soon as we come back right after this. And we're back. Thanks for the podcast audience for sticking with us. And of course, I'm here with Jared Smola from Draft Sharks. Jared and I participated in the Draft Sharks Invitational Draft number 4, which is linked in the video description below. If you're listening on the podcast, I'll put it in there as well. You could see how I dominated this draft. And, Jared did have a great draft himself, but, you know, I did have to, you know, there's a $5,000 prize, so I'm going to take the money. All right. Before the break, I asked you about Amon-Ra St. Brown. it's funny, you know, like I talked to a few of my casual fantasy football friends, and they like, and he said to me the other day, because I have a great sleeper for you for when you do your podcast, Amon-Ross St. Brown. I, you know, I said, oh, that's cute. You know, it's cute. he's you know, he won him a league last year. But yeah, I mean, Amon-Ross St. Brown, I'm just looking at his high stakes ADP. It is, where do you guys have him? Oh, I got him at wide receiver 26, 54th overall. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. He's a fifth or sixth round pick in most of these drafts.
So break him down. Is he worth that pick?
I wish I had a hot take on Amon-Ross St. Brown. I really don't. Like, I think the pro side for St. Brown says he's good. Like, look at what he, you know, yeah, the opportunity was there as a rookie, but you have to be good to capitalize in the way that he did. And you look at some of the advanced metrics, like, you know, yards per route run, he was awesome there. The con side for St. Brown is that there was no one else there in Detroit when he broke out. So I see both sides. I think he is good. I also think he's not going to see the same volume because they add DJ Chark. They get DeAndre Swift healthy again. They get TJ Hockenson healthy again. They'll have Jameson Williams at some point. So yeah, again, I wish I had a hot take, but I think he's sort of fairly valued as like a, you know, higher end wide receiver three.
Yeah. I lean on the genie is out of the bottle philosophy there. I mean, when, if you remember back to when Amon-Ross St. Brown was drafted in the fourth round, everybody thought that that was like, oh wow, what a steal. Like, he should have gone. And like, I think a lot of smart projectors had him in like the second round or no later than the third round. So it's kind of like the Michael Carter thing where we all thought he was going to go earlier, and the draft capital sort of re-anchors him down, you know, pulls him down a little bit. Yeah, it's, you know, I saw a blurb this week. Did you see the Jared Goff blurb about how, you know, that Amon-Ra is his guy, he's the man? I mean, TJ Hockenson couldn't have been too happy about that, you know? I mean, if you saw
There is something to quarterback receiver rapport, too. Now, I've been reading some good things about DJ Chark's performance in training camp, too, and he's a guy who you have to go back a couple of years for the 1,000-yard season, but it was there. He was a high second-round pick. He's big. He's athletic. I do think guys like St. Brown are, you know, he's a better fit with Goff, right? You know, Goff would rather throw that short stuff than, you know, chuck it downfield to DJ Chark. So, like, I think Chark's going to be the lead guy there. I don't think he's going to be getting, you know, 10 targets per game like he was down the stretch last season.
Yep, that's fair. You could see, you could maybe have some spike games. All right, we are also, I don't want to forget our main topic with that. We are reviewing the draft board. I'm going to pop it up once again. And if we tangent off this topic, man, that's just how podcasts go. That's what you get when you get a smorgasbord of good information. So as you can see here, for those who have just joined us or have been listening through, I picked third in our Superflex draft. Jared picked 10th. We already talked about our first round pick, but you know, it's so great to when you in a Superflex draft, you get these great values on positional players. Now, you ignored running back pretty early, Jared, but you started just clicking that button when the running backs came, and you got Alvin Kamara, James Conner, and Travis Etienne. Boom, boom, boom. Alvin Kamara was somebody that basically scared the heck out of me all draft season because of the suspension. I don't want in a, and I wasn't going to pay a third round pick. I am emotionally ready to put him back in the second round of, you know, traditional start ones. Talk about, I mean, he in the Superflex draft, when you get him in the where you got him, was that the fourth round? Mm-hmm. It's an easy pick. But in single quarterback leagues, are you willing to take him in the middle of the second round again, or even the high second round?
Middle to late, I think, is where Kamara belongs. Like, I'm still taking Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley over him pretty easily. You know, middle to late second. Yeah, at this point, it seems like the suspension risk is pretty minimal. I mean, that can always change. I know people say, you know, if the video comes out, then, you know, he's screwed. But otherwise, it seems like this legal process is dragging out. So I think you're probably going to get, you know, Kamara at least eligible for all 17 games this season. I, you know, have concerns with Sean Payton's departure from New Orleans. You know, I think we even saw last year, you know, Kamara's target share is not going to be as high with Jameis Winston as it was with Drew Brees. So, you know, that's why he doesn't creep into that early second or even late first round for me. But I do still think he's going to get plenty of volume. I still think he's a good player. O-line is still pretty solid there in New Orleans. So I think Kamara is going to be just fine as like a lower end RB1.
You said something very interesting here that I hadn't thought of. It's not only did he, you know, is the team context completely different, but Sean Payton's not there. Drew Brees isn't there. If, you know, the days of 80 catches for Kamara, yeah, I think that ship has sailed. I mean, what do you think is an upside, not even a reasonable projection? Like, what's Kamara's reception total if things go well?
60.
Right. And that's not that great to me.
It's not great, but, you know, it's not. If he gets 60 catches and then he gets, you know, 200-220 carries, you know, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and it pays the bills in the second round, or where you got him, forget it. It's all profit in the fourth round of a Superflex draft. I mean, he should have gone. See, to me, there's not that much difference between him and Derrick Henry with the new risks associated with Derrick Henry. And the reason I took Derrick Henry, you see, in the third round there is because I thought the running back run was about to happen. It kind of did, but yeah, I mean, you did just fine just waiting. You got your guy Trevor Lawrence in the late third round of a Superflex draft. And when you made that pick, I did a little eyebrow raise because I hadn't thought of Trevor Lawrence as, I was like, okay, there's some possibility for him. I didn't see a lot of difference between him. But you really persuaded me today that Trevor Lawrence probably is, let's say, more than a life preserver if you miss out on that Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr tier. And I like that I've, you know, evolving my perception as I'm heading into some high stakes stuff here. All right. So you got your guy, Dallas Goedert, and I heard you talking on the live stream about Dallas Goedert. And what's funny is when I picked earlier in that round, I took Elijah Moore. I literally had Dallas Goedert in there. I was about to click. I got distracted for a second. And then when I came back, I ended up with Elijah Moore. Now I wish I would have done it just to put you on tilt. You know, I'm all about hate picks, you know, and I'll tell you right now, had I gotten Jalen Hurts at pick three, you would not have benefited if Dallas Goedert goes off there. So you got lucky there, but Elijah Moore, you know, it would have been, I always thought the Jaguars screwed up when they took Travis Etienne. They should have taken Elijah Moore there. We'd be talking about Trevor Lawrence in a different way. So I'm just curious as a Jet fan, I'm a Jet fan. Which team do you like? Who's your squad?
I mean, I got to kind of be a Bills fan at this point. Yeah. I mean, I kind of grew up a Dolphins fan. But man, I as I've gotten older, it's hard for me to care about how sports teams do. Like I care about my fantasy teams, dude. But, you know, all my buddies are Bills fans. My wife's a Bills fan. I would like to see them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you this Elijah Moore question, but you said it right. Like people say, who are you a fan of? And like when people meet me in Florida, I'm like, yeah, I'm a Jets fan, but I'm like, I don't give a shit, you know, anymore. I'm just like, I mean, think about, you know, how much fantasy is done for the NFL, but I can watch the two worst teams on Thursday night in a game where they're both have three wins. And obviously, you know, between gambling and between fantasy, I mean, we care. I mean, the worst NFL game does better than some like the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Because we can control our fantasy teams. I have no control on how the Miami Dolphins play or how they run their franchise. So why should I be that invested in them?
Yep. All right. I want to get back to your take on Elijah Moore because I think he's an important player because, you know, there's some Jets bias pulling him down, but he's available routinely in a very fair. I'm just looking at what his high stakes ADP is over the last. He's lower than I thought he was. He is going at wide receiver 32, 62 overall. I'm identifying him as I can't leave the draft without him type of guy.
I'm not there with him. I wish I could be because I loved him coming out and everything we saw. And you mentioned guys that kind of got hot down the stretch last year. That was Elijah Moore until he got hurt. And he had a big 6-7 game stretch there. You know, my concerns are, I guess it starts with volume after they add Garrett Wilson with a 10th overall pick. And, you know, Corey Davis is back. They had a couple tight ends. And that my biggest concern, though, I'd like your take on it, is Zach Wilson. Like, is he going to take a step forward this season? Because he was bad last year.
Yeah. You know what's funny? It's, again, somebody brought this to my attention, is that Zach Wilson, he was bad, but he wasn't as bad as you think he was. He actually won Rookie of the Year. This came from the Breakfast Table podcast. Those guys brought to their audience's attention that Zach Wilson, on three separate weeks, won Rookie of the Week, not of the Year, Rookie of the Week. So, but, I mean, it's so obvious that he was, you know, I wanted the Jets to take Justin Fields with that pick two there. I was in there. I would still be. I mean, everything they've set, they've done, the Jets have done the opposite of what the Bears have done, right? They've set Zach Wilson up so they can see if he's good or not. Whereas the Bears are just like, yeah, well, Justin Fields, if he's good, he's good. If not, we're just going to move on. Okay. That's a fair take on Elijah Moore. Now that's probably why his ADP is where it is, but I'm betting on talent. And you know, it's one other note. I just want to backtrack a little bit about Dallas Goedert. Because I had this in my notes to ask you, does it bother you at all that Goddard's best week was with Gardner Minshew?
No, to me, that's like a one-off small sample. I'm thinking I'm not going to worry about.
Okay. That's the question I wanted to ask you, though, because I like Goddard, but I have to admit, you swooning over him got me a little bit more interested in him. So, you know, I would say when credible, sharp guys like players, I pay attention. I don't just anchor to my own. All right, I want to go over a couple more guys that I know that you've talked about lately that have me interested. Let's go with Wandell Robinson, because you know, as soon as he was drafted in the second round, everybody said, oh, he was overdrafted. He's too small. Yeah. But you have a little bit of a different spin on Wandell.
I mean, to me, size is the only knock against this guy, right? Like, he had the college production, you know, he has that running back wide receiver hybrid kind of skill set, which is always interesting in fantasy. He did that for 2 years at Nebraska, you know, transfers to Kentucky, finishes like top five in the country in catches and receiving yards last year. Tape is awesome. I think he's a fun player to watch. And then to me, the big thing is this new Giants regime, you know, new head coach, new GM. They have no ties to Kenny Galladay or Kadarius Toney. They spend, 43rd overall pick on Wandell Robinson. So to me, that means something. I think, you know, Brian Daboll kind of pinpointed this guy as someone he wanted for his offense. And at this point, it's pretty clear that Wandell Robinson is locked into a top three role in that offense. I think Dable's going to run a ton of three wide receiver sets. So Robinson's going to be a full-time player in that offense. I like him as a late-round target.
And based on what we've seen, Kadarius Toney is what? I mean, what's his under over on games? 11 and a half as far as healthy games. And Galladay's never been a healthy, you know, like a guy that we said, oh, he's a rock. So, I mean, there's going to be games where Wandell, they may be, you know, low A dot, but he could have like 12 targets in a game. I like that. It's, you know, I'm seeing him creep up. And I don't think, you know, if he has a splash play in the preseason, forget it. He's going to be like a 10th round pick at some point. It's, you know, how you talked about narratives earlier, people responding and changing the rankings, but sometimes it's okay to do that, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. And even with Wandell, again, it's a guy that I liked as a prospect coming in. So I was kind of, you know, willing to rank him high. And the landing cap, the draft capital was even higher than I expected. I thought he'd be a third round pick.
Yep. Just a quick break here to ask everyone, if they love fantasy sports and you're looking for a new challenge this year, Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real salaries, adding strategy, and running an actual franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique, challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control of your team's future. You can build it through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, manage your salary cap, create a dynasty of champions. Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and use the code ROTO5. That's ROTO5 and receive $5 off any new dynasty team. Are you a dynasty player? Do you like playing? Are you in any dynasty leagues?
Oh yeah. I'm in four dynasty leagues, which again, I'd like to be in more, but there's only so many hours in the day.
Next offseason, I'll hit you up. I mean, I'm a startup sicko, you know, like I'm in a ton of them, and you know, none of them fall. We've had them all long running, and just, you know, like, I love it so much. I think it's I love redraft. We all come from the redraft game, but dynasty, it's like this is what I would say. Like, there's always like a leak, and the biggest leak in dynasty players games is that the way to they overvalue youth, we all know that, and they undervalue, you know, aging players. So, you know, you see these dynasty, there's no better example than like Mike Evans, who's wide receiver 7-ish in redraft, and he's like wide receiver like 18 or 20 in dynasty.
And he's not even 30 years old yet. It's crazy.
And it's not like we've seen a decline. We've seen an incline, you know, an increase in his efficiency, his touchdowns. And so, all right. So that's, you know, you like Tom Brady this year. So that's a good jump off point. I have so many things to ask you about. So I'm going to go like a million topics here. I hope the audience can keep up. CeeDee Lamb or Mike Evans in redraft this year?
That's Lamb for me easily now after the Bucs added Julio Jones, and, you know, looks like Chris Godwin's going to be, you know, ready for week one, you know, maybe week two or week three. You know, he's not going to open the season on the pup list. So I had Evans projected for a bunch of targets like 3 weeks ago, but then with the recent news, I kind of took him back down to the level he was at last year.
Yeah, I see him dripping into the third round now, Mike Evans, in some drafts. I mean, that's, you know, I was so happy to take him at like pick 15 a month ago. And now, So, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, if you're in just a single quarterback league, I think he's a defensible like pick 9, pick 10, pick 11, right?
Yeah, around there. You know, I was going to say early second round, but yeah, he's definitely in those top five wide receivers for me. I think, you know, obviously the opportunity is there for him to see a huge target share to open the season.
Yeah, he's a smash in the second round, but I'm talking about like if you want him and you're in like a draft that like, you know, that means something to you and you're at pick 10, I think it's okay to take him there. And then because there's probably a tier of guys that clump together at that spin pick. So, I mean, so who, we have our big three, everyone's got the same big three. So who's your wide receiver 4 and 5 then?
Diggs is 4 for me. I just think he's the safest of these next three guys. So I go Diggs, Adams, Lamb, but I could, you know, Lamb and Adams, I kind of go back and forth on every day.
See, I could, it's funny you say, and I think that that's a reasonable, like with Diggs's floor, but I mean, Lamb hasn't done it yet. So it's, you know, yep. I mean, we've seen Stephon Diggs like 2 years ago. If you had him in the finals, I would love to, you know, congratulations. I want to see your trophy because you won, but it's, I could see. So I talked to, who was it yesterday? I talked to somebody and they had him as their wide receiver 4. And I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, it's easy to see. So if Lamb is earmarked for 150 target floor, now are you a Dalton Schultz guy? I mean, he ran free last year. Nobody likes him as a talent, but he's yeah. potentially a volume guy. So yes or no on Dalton Schultz. And then who's the secondary pass catcher on the team that you like in your drafts?
Yeah, no on Schultz for me. And it's, you know, going back to Dallas Goedert, that, you know, Schultz goes like 2 rounds ahead of Dallas Goedert in ADP. I would just much rather save the 2 rounds and take Dallas Goedert. My next guy on Dallas is Tony Pollard. Like, I'm buying this Tony Pollard, get him on the field along with Zeke. I mean, I know we hear that this time of year way too often and it rarely comes to fruition, but it makes so much sense here because Pollard is such a weapon. He's so good in the passing game. Dallas is so thin and unproven at wide receiver behind CeeDee Lamb to open the season. So I do think Pollard's going to play a big role out of the gate.
Yeah, I'm full like Zeke QAnon status at this point, right? Like, you know, I'm almost too much to the point where I've said Zeke is the best value pick in the third round. And not because I think he can win you the league. It's just the guy's never on the injury report. And if you do start wide receiver, I mean, in a down year last year, Zeke was running back 7, but I think that you just brought up something interesting. It's like, if you have a pro Zeke take, people think you hate Tony Pollard. Both of these guys could hit. And I know it's funny. You just mocked that every year we hear running back X is splitting out wide this year, but just by necessity, they might really need that because if you're relying on Semi Fioko, is that, I say his name right? Or Noah Brown. I mean, one of these guys could emerge. I mean, if you had Noah Brown on your Thanksgiving league last year, congratulations. you did all right. But with Michael Gallup out, with Jalen Tolbert, it's still a third round rookie. Pollard does make a lot of sense, but you're having to take him in the 7th round. Doesn't that interfere with your Goddard play at all?
It can. And I would prioritize Goddard among those two if I have to make that decision, but you can get them both sometimes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense here. All right, I'm with Jared, and we were reviewing our Superflex draft. Jared Smola of Draft Sharks. You can see that draft. It's linked in the video description below, but I just have too many topics to ask him about with our last 10 minutes or so. There's been some rumors of Jimmy Garoppolo possibly the blurb said likely getting traded for the Browns. Do you think that Kareem Hunt could be involved in this trade at all?
I doubt it. I think Hunt's going to stay in Cleveland. Honestly, I think he's too good. They're too, you know, ready to win if they get, you know, even 8 games of Deshaun Watson. And, you know, they're still going to be a run focused offense when they don't have Deshaun Watson. So I just think Hunt's too valuable to that team this year to be on the move.
All right. So let's play in scenarios here. It sounds like, you know, the other day, Deshaun Watson's team made an offer to the league. Hey, we'll take 8 games. We'll give you $5 million. I don't think the league's going to go for that. Let's say that Deshaun Watson does get 12 games or a season long suspension, right? So the Browns want to be competitive. They can't waste a year. They got to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, it might cost them Kareem. It could cost them Kareem Hunt. I mean, they're not. Do they have draft picks to give? I mean, they're going to want something back, right? I mean, it's so that's why I would think that player could be involved there. So I used to think that it was 6 games. That was it. You know, I did my not a victory lap. That's a bad way to say it. But I was like, ha, it was 6 games. But it just seems now that the NFL is wants there's a PR element involved there. All right. My favorite tight end, I'm just going lightning round here, has been Zach Ertz. The first 6 weeks should be money, and then there could be a problem. But Do you see that? Could this be a little bit of fool's gold for me? Where are you on Rondell Moore and Hollywood Brown? Are they going to be better or worse than the market thinks?
Moore is my favorite target among those Cardinals pass catchers. I was a big fan of him coming into the league. Last year was obviously disappointing. I mean, just the way Arizona used him, he had like the lowest average depth of target we've seen in like years and years. Everything I've heard and seen from Cardinals camp is that they are going to, you know, diversify his role. There was a story a couple days ago that, you know, Moore is basically going to step into Christian Kirk's role from last year as that primary slot guy, getting some more downfield stuff, which I do think he can do. So he's my favorite guy. Yeah, you said it with Ertz. Like, I think he's going to be awesome those first six games before DeAndre Hopkins comes back. But I do worry about the target volume a bit once you have Hopkins in there alongside Marquise Brown and Rondell Moore.
All right, let's continuing with our lightning round. Baltimore, everyone knows Mark Andrews is set up for I haven't taken him at ADP yet. I'm not willing to click him in the second round. I could see why somebody would. Rashad Bateman better happen, right? I mean, it's almost like so are you buying Rashad Bateman in the fifth round? And why isn't he a third round pick if everyone's so sure he's going to happen?
Yeah, I'm definitely in on Bateman. To me, the question is Baltimore's pass rate. Because that spiked way up first where it had been in Greg Roman's first two seasons. And I do think that was at least partly due to the fact that they lost their entire running back room in August last year. And, you know, it does look like J.K. Dobbins is trending towards being ready for week one. So I think Baltimore is going to throw it not quite as much as they did last year. So that, to me, that's like the only concern with Bateman. I mean, the opportunity is obviously there with Marquise Brown gone. I thought he was an excellent prospect coming out. I know last year was semi-disappointing, but, you know, he dealt with a groin injury in August, missed all of training camp, all the preseason. And then even when he comes back, six of Bateman's 12 games came without Lamar Jackson under center. So it was just kind of – it was a tough go for him last year.
Yeah, I also like that Baltimore needs Bateman to happen. It's not like, you know, he's just some guy that we like. Like, they took him in the first round and – you know, they traded Hollywood. And so, you know, he's going to, and, you know, I liked enough what I saw there. So I've been taking Bateman, and that's a night you talk about stacks and bigger contests. The Lamar Bateman stack with Andrews is gettable. It's a little pricey, but, you know, it can be done. I've even, you know, I'm always looking for some good late round best ball guys as we finish out best ball season. And I've been taking Devin Duvernay, you know, pretty routinely. Now I saw a note that James Prochet was banged up. So Duvernay, does he have a chance for some fantasy relevance this year?
I think there's a chance, probably best ball only, right? Like, yeah, with the lower volume passing attack in Baltimore and Andrews and Bateman being the clear top two guys, I'm not sure you'll ever feel good enough about Duvernay or Prochet to like stick him in a starting lineup. But I do think both those guys could give you, you know, some spike weeks.
Yeah, he's like a poor man's Deebo Samuel. That is Devin Duvernay, like a very poor man's. Some of the other ADPs I don't understand that I was hoping you can untangle for me is the Pittsburgh wide receivers. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver 18. Chase Claypool, 49. And now Pickens with some helium. He's 70, but I'm sure he's going up. I land on the Chase Claypool value side of this. What say you?
I'd actually rank them value-wise in opposite order. Like, I think Pickens is my favorite at this point. Maybe I'm buying into the hype too much that we've heard this summer, but I thought Pickens was a first-round talent and that, you know, it was the ACL last year that basically knocked him out for the season that kind of caused him to slip into the second. But I'd go, like, Pickens, and I do like Claypool at ADP. And I'm not drafting Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 18. I think his volume's going to decline without Ben Roethlisberger there.
There is a couple of different kinds of people in fantasy draft this year. There are those who will draft Christian McCaffrey as pick one or two, and there are those that are sane.
Yeah. I disagree here.
Yeah, good. So where are you taking him in a standalone league? Forget the overall in the overall contest. Okay, you want to take McCaffrey 1-1. I get why, but just you're in a league. You're let's say you bucked up. You put $200 down in a league. It's important. That's a good chunk of dough. You're going to take him in the top two.
He's my 101 in full PPR. I think he's not more injury prone than most of these other backs. And even if you look at McCaffrey's injuries, there's like nothing recurring. There's nothing I'm, you know, worried about lingering or impacting his play this season. The guy's, you know, still in his mid-20s. And I just think he's going to get fed, especially in the passing game. Now, if you're talking half PPR
we don't. Okay. What kind of people, what kind of animals play half PPR, you know?
All right, McCaffrey for me.
Yep. And it's not that I don't think McCaffrey, I mean, look, when he came back those couple games, he's 25 points. I get it, but it's just the opportunity cost. And you said something that I think really does it, that no one else has been able to articulate to me. And that was that, hey, he's not more in your research, he's not more injury prone than, you know, Dalvin Cook, who I would have as the second running back after Jonathan Taylor, because an injury can strike at any time. And the other thing is, if you're worried, I guess if the argument against myself is, if you're worried about a scale back workload, Matt Rhule is obviously on the hot seat here. And it doesn't matter if he, you know, burns the engine out, he's got to win. Yeah. And that's probably his best chance to win. All right. That makes sense to me. I probably, I've been burned a couple times by him, so I probably wouldn't take him in the top four or five, but at six, it gets interesting for me. And I guess really where I was going is that there's other injury guys that are, you know, there's Derrick Henry now has the injury labeled or concerns from people, Saquon Barkley. You got to be interested. If you're taking McCaffrey, are you just like, are you a handcuff guy with Foreman, or are you just, that's not how you play fantasy football?
I'm not really a handcuff guy in general, and I'm definitely not a handcuff guy in that situation. I'm not even sure if it's Foreman. I think it might still be Chuba Hubbard. Some of the stuff I've read out of Carolina is that Hubbard's been out playing Foreman. So it's too messy for me to, you know, pick one of those guys. And even if McCaffrey goes down, I don't think, you know, either Foreman or Hubbard's going to, you know, give you anything too exciting.
And if McCaffrey's healthy for 4 weeks and when the hot free agents come out, you know, I mean, there's going to be four or five guys in week one that we want to pick up. You're not going to want to hold Foreman anyway. So that's all I would say about Alexander Mattison. It's like, everyone's like, if you draft Dalvin Cook, you have to take Madison. Okay. Let's see if you can hold him in week five. If Dalvin Cook is, you know, in your typical 5-6 bench league, it's nearly impossible to hold a guy like that. Whereas someone like Pollard, you could stash in your lineup. Someone like Kareem Hunt, you know, if you have to, you could stash him in your flex spot. So, all right, Jared Smoley, you did it, man. You know, I loved having you on. I was very much looking forward to talking to you. Where can everyone find you on Twitter? What are you working on right now that everyone should go check out?
Yeah, at SmolaDS on Twitter. All my work is on DraftSharks.com. Man, I'm working on a ton of stuff. We got our sleeper article coming out next week that I'm working on. We have our perfect draft articles coming out next week. Those are our, you know, round-by-round game plans for how to attack your league, and we have them for all league sizes, all league types. And then I'm working on our preseason notes article, which is where I actually watch every preseason game. I do it with the Game Pass, you know, quick version. It's like 30 minutes for a game, but I'll watch all the games and just sort of jot down any usage notes or performance notes that I think are interesting.
And we always at RotoWire, we always think that the best fantasy players don't just get one draft kit. Like, we love when people buy our draft kit, but we think that you should always get 2, 3, 4 draft kits. And not everyone can afford that many. It's fine. But I think that the best players always check out multiple draft kits. So where could people find, what do you think the best part of the Draft Sharks draft kit is, and how can they get it?
It's definitely our draft war room. So with that, it's our drafting tool, and it takes our projections. It applies them to your league scoring system, which again matters. Like, we talked about underdog being half PPR versus full PPR, like that, your scoring system matters. It's going to impact your rankings. And then the draft war room will sync up to your league's draft room, and it'll automatically take guys off the rankings as they're picked throughout the draft. It'll update your rankings based on, you know, your team needs, what's still available. So it's a really powerful drafting tool. I use it for every draft I do.
All right. And you know what? I was just looking at my list. There's two questions I didn't ask you that I think are important, because who's, besides Dallas Goedert, who's the late round, you know, round 12 or later guy that you just, you know, every time you just look, all of a sudden you look up at your best ball, it's like, oh my God, 68%. I got him again. Who's that guy?
So can I name two?
Please do.
It's David Njoku. And that's going to obviously depend on what happens with Watson here. You know, if it's only 6 games for Watson, I'll still be heavy on Njoku. I think he's a big talent. I think the Browns committed to him financially. They're kind of ready to feature him this season. My other guy, going back to the Jaguars, Evan Engram. I know he's burned people, but I mean, he's still that first round talent as far as athleticism, pass catching ability goes. The Jags gave him like $9 million this year, I think. And Doug Peterson has a long history of featuring tight ends in his passing game. So I think Ingram's going to play a big role in that Jacksonville passing game.
And it's funny you said that. I was just reading today that Laviska Shenault has been playing tight end, but more of like, because he's good at blocking. We just want, yeah, I mean, they're putting him there is because, you know, look, we didn't love Viska as a offensive weapon, but I mean, he's an animal, man, right? He can knock people over. So if Engram is getting that like Mike Gesicki type of treatment where he's just running routes, yeah. Oh, yep. I like, you know, it's funny. There's a little bit of stink on Evan Engram, and you could pick the round you want him in, but I love that pick. And in your dynasty leagues, who's someone that you just haven't had the heart to cut yet that you just, you know, if it doesn't happen this year, you'll give him maybe one more try. Who's that guy that's sticking to the end of your roster?
Man, I got no one comes to mind. I'm so malleable. I just cut guys when they need to be cut.
You're sicko. <I'm> sure. Yeah. See, JJ Arcega-Whiteside was that guy for me for a couple of years. I mean, you know, I finally cut the cord. I mean, I'm not letting go of Paris Campbell right now. Obviously, I mean, you wouldn't do that. That's silly because he's the wide receiver too. But yeah, there's a couple guys. I mean, there's another guy who I haven't been able to cut yet. You remember Antoine Wesley? Yeah, on the Cardinals. He, you know, even though I should slice him off, I haven't cut him yet.
I got one, Bryan Edwards.
Oh yeah, there
still,
you go.
I'm still keeping the light on for him in Atlanta. Now.
I'll keep it. You know what? If you don't mind, I will give you full credit, but I'm going to call it the keeping the light on guy when I ask this question, because I do ask this of every dynasty player, and no one has said Edwards yet, but you're right, because it's like I look at him every time. I'm like, you know,
he's got a chance now in Atlanta. I mean, there's no one else there behind London.
All right. And then here's the last question. The player that you always want to draft is, you have to say to yourself, can this player be on the cover of all the fantasy magazines next year? You know, I've had people say maybe Travis Etienne, it could be the 1-1 next year. This year, Justin Herbert was on our RotoWire magazine. Who's a player that you think that, you know, you're looking at in some of your drafts that it's easy to see them be on the cover of the magazine next year?
I mean, easy for me to see is Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
I just think if he stays healthy, I still believe in the talent. He's going to get a ton of work there. If I want to get a little crazier.
Yeah, a little crazy.
I could go Cam Akers. Sean McVay has a long history of featuring one back. If he's over the Achilles injury, that's still going to be a top 10 offense in the NFL. You know, if he's getting 70% of the work in that Rams offense, Akers could be, you know, a top 5 pick next year.
Jared, I kept you way longer than I said I was. It's because I enjoy you and I enjoy talking to you. And I want everyone to go follow him at SmolaDS. And then I am at Alan Sislowski. Just remember, everyone, if you want to get a peek behind RotoWire's paywall, just go to rotowire.com/try. There's no credit card to put in. You just put in your email. And after 2 days, it just lapses. If you want to sign up, that's great. If not, like I said, nothing to cancel. And we'll be back again next Friday with another podcast. We have Tim from Dynasty Owner coming on. We're going to do some Dynasty strategy discussion. Jared, thanks a lot, man. And everyone out there, good luck in your leagues. And, you know, let us know. Tweet at us. Tweet at Jared. Show him your drafts. And every week, I want you to ask him which marginal player to start.
Noise, noise. The sun goes.